Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. You joined into the 2020 LFC AEN ordination or orientation and preparation. We do want to remind everyone to put your phones on mute until it is time for you to dialogue, and that if for any reason you can't, you're not calling from the phone number that you have on file, we do ask that you text me the number that you're calling from. And if you are joining us via your computer, you will need to text me to let me know you are listening via the computer. And anyone that isn't a part of the regular meeting and you go after the scheduled time of the meeting to the session on Blog Talk Radio, you will need to text me and let me know that you listened to the session, the weekly session. So with that, just some opening information, we will get started this evening with prayer. Amen. This evening's prayer will be from Elder Dr. Carter Thomas.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Father God, we thank you for allowing us to gather, and that there is no distance or device that can keep us from doing your work, Father. So even right now, we ask that you will hover over this time and that you will breathe into this time. Even as our brother screamed out, "I can't breathe," we asking for your breath to reign over this time, over this world right now, Father, so that we may go forth and do the work that you have called us, that you have ordained us, that you have anointed us to do, that you may be glorified. Bless our apostle, Seanette. Bless our overseer. Bless the our archbishop. Bless the prophet. Ambassadorial prophet, Father, we just ask that you would bless every person on this line and everyone connected to Living for Christ and AEN, that we may continue to do your work and you may be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Carter. We're enjoying you on the Wednesday class. I encourage everyone to tune in, same phone number, and you'll hear some very powerful teaching from the ambassadorial prophet and Dr. Carter. Again, these are things that you do as part of your requirements for ordination. Though it was not indicated to him, but as you do different ministries for the Lord during this time, all of this goes towards your meeting your requirements for elevation. And so we do want to thank Dr. Carter, enjoying your study, very, very powerful teacher, a very anointed trailblazer. So we will start, we will continue with our, the Thursday class with the announcements from Elder Sharita, who will get us updates. Elder?
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in this evening. Our weekly preparation meetings are held from now through August 2020 on Blog Talk Radio. And then we just ask that you would continue to study the notes from Ambassadorial Prophet Michael Henderson's revelatory teaching on the Trailblazer, because you will be quizzed periodically. And then 2 weeks ago, Prophet Michael gave some things that he wanted everyone to meditate on. And those three things were understanding the Trailblazer through the eyes of El Rey, Trailblazers have miracles on demand, and Trailblazers have a sound. And he just wanted in your quiet time and your daily devotion with the Lord to begin to meditate on those three things. And then on this evening, we look forward to hearing from our pastoral care director, Apostle Katie Pierce, giving us a word of encouragement. And then also tonight's presenters will be Elder Deborah and I believe Minister Chaplain Cynthia Branham on the candidate and accountability relationship. They will be presenting on the characteristic of accountable to God coming from Romans 4 and 2. And then everyone should have received phase 4 by now. It consists of learning how to defend the faith. There are some candidates, their phase 4, your phase 4 looks like theological questions, and you should have received that email a couple of days ago. If you have any questions along the way, please be sure to reach out to Overseer. If you have not turned in your phase 3 requirements, please get those into Overseer, as well as your monthly interpersonal assessments that were also due on the 31st of May. And then we just always encourage everyone. We've covered a lot so far. So if you have any questions, we ask that you bring them, write them down before the meeting days, and share your questions during the meeting so that we can be sure that we are meeting your needs. And that's all that I have.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder. So we will open it up now for comments, things that you've been, as she mentioned, a lot of things have been shared with you. Do you have any questions about it, any concerns about them? This is your time to speak up. We do hope that the accountability partners received the Defend Your Faith bare minimum and are doing it actually along with the candidates if you've never done it before. There are some accountability partners that have done it and have done theological questions, then this does not apply to you. But if you are an accountability partner, if you've never done the Defend Your Faith, then we ask that you do it alongside of your candidates. So do we have any questions or concerns? Have you looked over your Defend Your Faith? Can you say yes or no?
Obviously, this is Elder Carter.
Yes, sir.
So obviously, I received both the Defending Your Faith and the theological,
yes,
and I've reviewed them. So I need to complete both of them, correct?
Actually, no. You received, honestly, I'll be honest with you, you would have just received the Defend Your Faith. But when you got through teaching, it's like, no, he needs the theological questions. So you just have to do the theological questions. So that's your fault. But, you know, but no, that's a blessing. That is a blessing. Because it is a precursor for consecration, and that's the
right.
That is the anointing of your life. Now, with the theological questions, this is for you and for Minister Lynette. You have to pick 100. You have to pick
right.
10 from each one of the categories, and you have to pick the ones that are asterisk. Pick any other ones aside from that. But you make to make your 10 per section. Now, because this is ongoing, you're going to eventually do all 1,000. But this year, you will do 100. Next year, you'll be required to do 200 to 300. So in order to track which ones you've already answered, then we're trying to come up with a system. And thus far, what we've decided to do, just put your answers in the file. Now, I know that file is going to be ginormous. So if that's a problem for your computer and the, you know, the memory and that sort of thing, and to send it and stuff like that, then you can do it by section. But what is going to happen is in 2 years, the remainder 600 or 700 questions, 600 questions, you still have to answer those. So you don't want to obviously repeat ones you've already done, and you want to make sure that you've completed all of them. So the number, and if you keep track of the number, then, you know, that begins to be a little complicated. So if it's just in that file, then I think that would be the better option. So if that's a problem as you're going through it, you come up with a better way of organizing it, please, please, please do not hesitate to share. And it's not a problem whatsoever. So, yes, you don't have to do to defend your faith, because by the time you do the theological questions, you definitely would have given an answer to your faith.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that, overseer.
Thank you. Any more questions or concerns? And as we started ended with last week, just, you know, indicate for those that are doing it to defend your faith, it is not necessarily a one, you know, sentence answer. We want you to be thorough in your answer and not just to write down a definition that you find. But we need you to define that definition in your own words. In your own words, communicate your answers. And we do encourage you to take your time, but be purposeful about it. Definitely be diligent in the process. This is the fourth. And so this month is marching by already. So don't procrastinate or put it off. Just, you know, give yourself a schedule. Do 5 or 6 a day, or come up with a schedule that's a goal that you can stick with. So that you can, any other concerns or...
Overseer, this is Evangelist Vera. I was looking at number 28, and it says, who is on the throne? I'm on the defend your faith. On number 28,
yes.
It says, who is on the throne and F, and then cross in your life?
Who's
or
on the throne? It should be saying who's on the throne and who's on the cross. So now I'll have to pull up.
Oh, it's got something else on there. Okay.
Okay. Well, yep, good question. Yes, but that's what that should be, who's on the throne of your heart and who's on the cross.
Okay.
Okay. Good question. Any others?
I had one more. I just can't remember which one it was.
Okay. Well, at any time, feel free to, you know, contact me, and we will look at it. Okay?
Okay.
All righty, 28. I'm checking it now, 28. Yes, it should have just said, who is on the throne, and it should be, who is on the cross in your life. So it's just combining, really should be 2 sentences. They just combined it in one, so, yeah. Okay? Any other questions? Good question. Okay, and I do want to make sure that, and we probably can talk about it as we go, but when you get to question 40, each one of those subjects should take at least a paragraph, at bare minimum, and you should make a note of this. And it's saying the question is going to read, what do you know about the doctrine of? Now, if you don't know anything, then you have to go find out something. And you need to list at least 5 elements of each one of these doctrines, 5 things that the doctrine communicates. Okay? All right. And again, when you get to that, if you want to, you have questions or things, you know, we'll talk about it. Talk about it during class. Because really, if you have a question, so do other people. And so don't feel like, oh, I don't want to ask. And they'll be so relieved that you asked because they didn't. But they want to know. Okay? All right. All right. So at this point, we will, we've looked at what you have here. And I do want to thank everybody for turning in their phase three information in a timely fashion. I appreciate your diligence. We're not at 100%, but you know if you haven't sent it that you need to do so, and you need to call and let me know. Most things can be worked out as long as we have communicated with each other. So, again, I thank you. You put much love, much work, much dedication in the answers, and you were very transparent. You were very honest. You were very forthright with your answers and your sharing of your status and of your relationships. And so I am very, very honored as well as excited for you. God has already done some marvelous things in your lives. And so this is only a continuation of his work in your life. So at this point, we will give the floor over to Prophet to bring us our prophetic teaching for today. Have to make sure I have everybody off mute. Okay. Prophet, you with us today? Okay, maybe he is not with us. We'll check and see when he's going to come on board today. All right. So we want to, at this time then, we will turn the floor over to Elder Deborah.
Thank you. Good evening. this is kind of have two things. So the first thing, this is just some new information. I just want to just give you kind of like a precursor. As we move forward closer to the August date to your elevation, consecration, ordination, we're going to be adding an additional segment. Don't get nervous, but there's going to be something different on the call that we're going to be adding in. Right now, there is nothing else for you to do but just kind of listen to me. But what I want you to be mindful of is that our scripture base for this new segment in the month of June is coming from John 15, 1 through 8. So if you would please just be reading and meditating on that. Need you to write anything unless the Lord gives you something you want to put in your journal. But just be mindful of that passage, John 15, 1 through 8. You will be getting additional information. Well, you'll be getting presentations for the next 3 weeks dealing with that, a few minutes just dealing with those verses, John 15, 1 through 8. So just make a note. I don't think you're going to get anything in writing to that. I know everybody has their sword, so you can look up John 15, 1 through 8. And as we move forward, next week you'll get a presentation. The following week you will get another presentation regarding that passage. So just be mindful of that, and please read and be meditating on that. Thing number one. Number two, the accountability characteristic today is accountable to God. And I want to introduce this young lady. I've been knowing her all my life. She's a Christian. Well, okay, I'm going to stop playing with y'all. It's me. I was going to go there. But because you got to be so serious and tight on the call. But it is me. We're going to look at Romans 14. And that should really be listed 1 through 4. I think
Elder,
on the paper it says, yes, ma'am.
This is Overseer. I will introduce you. How is that?
Well, that's Okay, because I might get chided for clowning around. But I am serious about what I'm doing. But just thought I'd add a little levity.
Absolutely. And we do. We want it to be light. This is not rigid and glass and you can't say anything. And you need to know we have fun in ministry. And I have known Elder Deborah not all my life, but all my life as laborers. She has been a very strong supporter and she's present herself in the teaching and in the ministry work with Labors for Christ Ministry, CCPI, the AEN. She is a very diligent community activist type person. She is also an individual that has her passion in a lot of the community type based things, and she is very she's a learned person in that whatever is trending, she's going to find out how to perfect it. Plus, she's excellent with math. She loves to tell you about where things are in the city of Chicago, okay? But very, very diligently and very patiently. She has been ordained through the AEN. She has served in her church for, what, 30 years, 40 years?
Oh, yeah, whatever, yeah, at least 40, probably 40,
About 40 years as the worship leader in her church, and she is a leader indeed. She is a leader indeed, and she is an elder indeed. And it is a pleasure for me to present to you Elder Deborah Wilson.
Thank you, Alicia, for that. Yes, great to open door. Yes.
Absolutely, yes.
It's my home fellowship.
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much for that warm welcome. I see you remember the map thing. Yeah, I like maps.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So the passage today is Romans 14. I'm looking at 1 through 4. It says just 2 on here, but you don't really get the full gist of what they're saying by looking at verse number 2. I'm using the Amplified, and so I just want to walk through this because I don't have any revelation as a candidate because I wasn't thinking about it like that. But it's a very interesting and I think very timely passage just where we are just in our nation and those kinds of things. The first verse reads in the Amplified, "As for the man who is a weak believer, welcome him into your fellowship, but not to criticize his opinions or pass judgment on his scruples or perplex him with discussions." And it's a lot in that. And welcome him. Don't criticize others. Don't criticize, which is kind of when you criticize, you're usually telling others. Don't pass judgment. That's usually a personal posture. Don't perplex with discussions, the why and the why not. You know, we have all kinds of things we do. Do you dance? Do you speak in tongues? Do you believe in deliverance? You know, that if a weak believer comes into your fellowship, it says to welcome him. You know, don't perplex him. A lot of times we pounce on people. We're glad that they're coming into the fellowship, glad that they're coming into the family of God, and we kind of want to know whatever their spiritual litany is. And as we check off the things that align with us, then those boxes that can't be checked, sometimes we do pass judgment or we do criticize. Second verse says, "One man's faith permits him to believe he may eat anything, while a weaker one limits his eating to vegetables." That made me think about our various traditions and rituals. Some churches don't go with women in ministry. Some folks are looking at things like, oh, you can wear pants, you can't wear pants. Does it matter how you do this in the natural versus the spiritual? Some people, when I say people, I mean religious institutions, organizations, that whole natural versus spiritual. Some people will look upon you in the natural and say, well, if you're really that spiritual and aligned with the word, then why is these things in your natural life this way and that way? We are very quick to pass judgment and criticize. The third verse says, let not him who eats look down or despise him who abstains. And let not him who abstains criticize and pass judgment on him who eats. It goes for both sides, that neither one is better than the other. Because the word says, for God has accepted and welcomed him. And I think sometimes we think we're the ones welcoming. We're the ones creating the standard. But it's the word. It says they were accepted. And we're talking about a weak believer, accepted by God and welcomed by God. This is not a consolation prize, like, oh, you know, your alcohol problem, your drug problem, your sexual orientation, we're going to let you in and we're going to try to clean you up. It's not a consolation prize. We all come in the very same way. When you get down to the fourth verse, but even before we get to that, I want to say something about spiritually evolving. And I heard somebody use that term, but to me, when the way they were using it kind of meant they felt like I'm spiritually evolved if I agree with what you do. But if my position differs from your position, then you haven't, quote, quite arrived spiritually. A lot of times we major in the minors. Like I said, our hair, clothing, tattoos. We need to know it's about the heart. Don't have preconceived judgments on people, on who you may feel comfortable to share the gospel with or not, because you don't like the way they look or something about them that may be your own personal bias. That fourth verse says, who are you to pass judgment on and censure? And censure means actually where you express severe disapproval of someone or something in a formal statement. We have to be very careful because our words have weight. Our position has weight. So many people have been wounded, I want to say unintentionally, and sometimes it's unintentionally, because we kind of think that we're spiritually evolved. And we can tell them, you know, yeah, we need to clean up and don't come to church in that outfit. You know, that'll be better. You know, and people never come back. You know, we've had situations like that. And that is not pleasing in God's eyes. So we don't need to, it says, don't censure, find the verse, censure another's, I'm sorry, at the beginning of that. Who are you to pass judgment on and censure another's household servant? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And he stands, and he shall stand and be upheld. For the master, the Lord, is mighty to support him and make him stand. So we have to be careful with our words. We have to understand before his own master he stands or falls. We are not the judgment seat. We are not the ones to make that decision. You know, we can get into a place of, when I say we, I'm talking about the church, kingdom people, righteous indignation. But the word says, he shall stand and be upheld, for the Lord is mighty to support and to make him stand. We have to remember that we all come the same way. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short. No matter where you are right now, everybody has come the same way. We were all born in sin. I just want to read these four verses in the message, and I'm done with you for this, in the message that says, welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way that you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. Even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith department, remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. For instance, a person who has been around, this is the second verse in the message, for instance, a person who has been around for a while might well be convinced that they can eat anything on the table, while another with a different background might assume all Christians should be vegetarians and eat accordingly. But since both, both are guests at Christ's table, wouldn't it be terribly rude if they fell to criticizing what the other ate or didn't eat? God, after all, invited them both to the table. And that fourth verse reads, "Do you have any business crossing people off the guest list or interfering with God's welcome? There are corrections to be made or manners to be learned. God can handle that without your help."
God bless you. Amen. 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 And the floor is open for questions, comments, insights. Amen.
Wow. I just wanted to say, I think that was an awesome word to release on tonight. And one of the things that God has been ministering to me about was the spirit of criticism. It's a spirit. It is not like God. That spirit is not like God. And we often, you know, criticize each other, and we have to be mindful when we critique everybody and we find criticism in everything they're doing. We have to be mindful and ask God, you know, first and foremost, to forgive us and to renew our mind. And as Elder Deborah said, take a look at our heart. What's in your heart? What's making you become critical of everyone? You know, a lot of times we do things making critical because we try to make ourselves big in the sight of others and things of that nature. So definitely looking at taking an introspective look at ourselves to make sure that we're not found guilty of being critical of others. Because the Bible says with the same judgment that you judge others, that same measure is going to be measured unto you again. And so that in itself should make us slow down and not be so critical of others, because it's going to come back around. It's going to come back around. And we don't want to be found guilty of that. So I think that it's really, really wonderful that we not found ourselves with a haughty spirit, because that's also a cousin to the spirit of pride. Amen, somebody. And so we want to make sure that pride isn't entering in, and that we've searched our heart and watched our hearts, and that we're found to be clean. So I thank God for Elder Deborah, that scriptural reference on this evening. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Apostle. Amen. This is Elder Carter. First of all, the conviction was something else. that's first of all, I had to look in the mirror. I wasn't, you know, and that's what they talk about.
Jesus.
The word. It's a mirror to us, you know what I'm saying? So I'm listening, and I'm like, oh, my God. But also going with Apostle KP, I had posted things and was talking to people about being critical, because it is, we live in a world that talks about constructive criticism, and people get caught up in thinking that, well, it's constructive criticism, not understanding, just like Apostle KP has said, it's a spirit, and it's a divisive spirit, and it's an ugly spirit because of the way people do it, because they think they put constructive on the beginning of it, that it's a good thing, and it never is. So thank you
Amen.
For that word. I appreciate
to God,
so
this
much.
Is a little Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
This is Evangelist Vera. I just want to say thank you for that. It was a checkup for my spirit. We talked about, me and my family, we were on a prayer call, and we kind of like talked about that at the end. And sometimes you don't know what you say can really hurt someone, even though you, like you said, Elder Carter said, about the constructive criticism. Sometimes you can tear somebody up with just the words that you say, and we have to really watch what comes out of our mouth. So I just want to say thank you for even just the spiritual checkup. Thank you.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Amen.
And I want to just say, Pastor Deborah, that this Minister Pat, that was just the word I need to hear, and thank you so very much of not being judgmental, and everything was phenomenal, and you was on point. So to God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this is Pastor Rogers, Elder, and I can say that when I was listening, I said, now, if I see anything bad in other people, do I believe that Jesus said he took on all sin and he cleansed everybody up? So you brought me back to just letting God do it and believe that he said he has done it all. And if we believe that God is the cleanser, I'm going to stick with my faith, being that whatever that individual has, that I can, be with that individual so they can see that Jesus is the light of the world. And as a child of God, let my light so shine that others may see. And we come to be with one another. When you say people, I look at the church because I call it the congregation. But when we come to congregate, we do set examples for one another, encouraging one another. But we don't have to go by what we think that individual should do. But we, when the word is coming forth out of our mouth, people can hear, and God is the one that opened up the ears. So that's what I got out of it. So I'm going to just examine me and speak what God say and pray that others hear him through me.
Amen. Elder Deborah, this is Evangelist Francina, and I just love how you pointed out that we all come in the same way. And I think that we have a tendency to, once we got ourselves together, pass judgment. And I love how you pointed out that God has accepted them and welcomed them. And so that love of God has to be in us enough to welcome them the same way that God welcomes us. So thank you for setting the fire on us to be welcoming to our brothers and sisters.
Thank you.
Amen.
This is Pastor T. The part that you brought forth that touched my heart was the part where you said that we approach people or go about our lives living as if we have arrived. And I'm just reminded that while I'm still here, I'm still pressing toward the mark for the high prize, and that we've never arrived, and we have to stay humble so that others might embrace the journey as God has accepted us to embrace the journey.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hi. Sister Arnetta, can I speak to you? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I can come from a point that everything that she said was definitely excellent. I know that I deal with having been wounded a lot of times from people being too harsh and too critical and not understanding. And I also have been one that, when something has been cloudy, sometimes I've spoken too soon. And sometimes, even if I didn't speak too soon, I spoke and it was misinterpreted. So it goes both ways that I have to always remind myself, because sometimes people perceive when they see or how I present that I'm thinking one way, can become critical or something, or think that I'm being critical of something that I'm dealing with. So I know that, one, we have to, one, learn, as the old saying, to eat the meat and spit out the bones, and that comes with maturity of trying the word and weighing the thing, and also comes with there go by, that's not the scripture, but by the grace of God. We always have to remember, as she stated, we all come from the dust, and that's where we're going to go. And we have to really remember that, as each one stated, we come from so many different places. And if we have that mindset, I remember Apostle was teaching, when we start judging a person and we're supposed to be assigned to minister to them, then we cease to be able to really do that, because we've already crucified them, so to speak. That's those not her words, but we have already deemed them unworthy. And we have to definitely be mindful, but that always stuck when she stated that in class. And so, yes, that is so much of a fine thing that we have to learn to weigh the words that we say and make sure it's God, we supposed to be speaking when we supposed to be speaking.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Wonderful dialogue, wonderful insight. And what we want to always keep in the forefront of our minds and our hearts is the fact that these are elements in accountability partnering. And so when we're in ministry with each other and with even people that we don't know, we are accountable, and these elements of accountability must always be the foundation in which we interact with one another, always remembering first our relationship to God and then our relationship to each other. And so we want to, we're not just rehearsing these things, but we want them to become disciplines in our thinking. We want them to be our mindset and our emotions and our wills, because they actually indicate what is driving our heart strength and who's on the throne of your heart. And so as a result, what comes out in our behavior will dictate or will communicate this. And it's these things that we have been told through the Word of God to search yourself. And this is a daily searching. That's why we're crucified. Daily we die, because we're always seeking to be like, more like Christ, to be like Christ-like, to be Christ-like. And in doing so, these elements must always be a part of our spiritual discipline. And so as each week you come, we pray that you're putting these elements together, because they are bricks that form a solid foundation, so that when you go forth in ministry, then those around you, those that are part of your class and other ministries, we understand what our relationship needs to be to one another. Iron sharpening iron. All of these things are supposed to be in our hearts, being non-judgmental, being accountable. All of the elements of accountability is what the Bible has shown as the blueprint of how to go forward, linked together in ministry as one. And so we're really excited about the way you have embraced your assignment and the way you have allowed the assignment to seek to go into your own heart. I love it. Elder Carter say, "I have to look in the mirror." So that's the first thing we do when we hear. Let us look within, and then go forth. And so it is. These are exercises that are part of giving us. They say if you do a thing for 30 days, you know, then it'll become a part of your life. And that's what we wanted to do, constantly regulating what comes out of our mouth, our hearts, and our actions, and how it comes out. And so we want to give the floor over to Prophet to bring us our prophetic teaching for today, and then we will go to Apostle KP for your encouragement. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Overseer. Please forgive my tardiness, but wonderful conversation. I think this was a perfect lead into, as we continue to talk about this anointing of a trailblazer, and really just seeing it not as a gift that's upon us, but it's a lifestyle in which we live. And I believe what we've talked about is that continuous making of what that trailblazer looks like, and what gives you that sustainability during the tough times and things that are going on. So we did have a homework assignment. We began to started with Elijah, and then we began to move and talk about John the Baptist. And then we talked about a trailblazer on last week where you had an assignment. And so we'll just take a quick volunteer who would like to talk about and take the lead as a trailblazer in addressing that assignment that went forth.
Okay, amen.
This is Elder Carter.
They love you.
I'm trying to tell you. I ain't waiting for other people. I ain't waiting for folks.
Amen. So, that's what a trailblazer does.
So David, as a trailblazer, one of the things that I really love about David and that I appreciate personally, I mean for real personally, is the fact of how he changed how we praise and how we worship, right? The temple that was set by Moses and the way that they entered into the presence of God, David came and said, look, we coming in with thanksgiving. We're coming to God with praise. We're entering into his courts and his gates. We're coming to God differently. In the past, it was somber and a whole lot of bloodshed because, you know, I had to sacrifice animals and I had to do all that. But David said, no, we're going to do this differently. We coming in singing, dancing, praising God, giving some hallelujahs, giving some shouts, you know what I'm saying? We're going to rock this place, you know? And that's what I love about David is the, because I'm a dancer, all right? I was a professional dancer at one time in my life. It was clean dancing, so don't go thinking other things. but I praise God. I love to praise God. So knowing that David danced before the Lord unashamedly, I can get even more undignified than this. That David, that's my dude. That's my trailblazer. That's what I love about David. So.
Thank you, Elder. Good. So we are defining David as a trailblazer as it relates to praise and to worship. I like it. Someone else, what else did you see about David's life that you indicate that he is a trailblazer?
This is Evangelist Francina, and the thing that stood out to me about David as a trailblazer is that he goes in the name of the Lord and knows that the Lord is with him, and that he knows exactly the weapon, the right weapon to use, and he knows where to aim.
Very good, powerful. Thank you for that.
Amen.
All right, let me get two more volunteers.
Sister Arnett, I like the fact that David is not just a worshiper, but he's a warrior. And I like the fact that he has that mantle and he can switch when the time allows. And I love the fact that his heart is after God. I love David, one of the characters of the Bible. I love David and the fact that his poetry, I can't point to all of it, but I just love that about him. When we talk about the arts, it's just beautiful. David is beautiful to me. He might have been ruddy, but he came with courage and he came with God's power and God's strength. I love that about David.
This is Evangelist Vera, and what I loved about David was his courage, his loyalty, his act of faith that he had in God, that he was, you know, not just looking at other people's stuff, but he was unwilling to overlook his own issues, that he went to God after his own heart. He just went for God with everything that he had and not worried about anybody else. He wasn't afraid to praise. He wasn't afraid to stand against opposition, whether it be a lion, a bear, or Goliath. He was not afraid. He was able to stand there knowing that God had his back, and as long as God was behind him and God was for him, he wasn't worried about who was against him.
Amen. Good stuff. Thank you all. Thank you for investing your time and to assignment and also sharing your assignment. So one of the things that we want to look at is, so prepare to do some homework so you can write this down for next week. So we're going to look at, you know, David through the lens of 1 Samuel 16. That's the first thing that we want to look at is David through the lens of 1 Samuel 16. And we'll want to talk about, so I'm going to give you some things, and then your assignment is to indicate in scripture as relates to 1 Samuel 16 where you see the things that we talked about. So one of the things that we want to talk about is this, and you can write this down. trailblazers don't always have the time to prepare. Trailblazers will always have the time to prepare. And so it's in you. And when you look at 1 Samuel 16, everyone else had an opportunity to be a part of what was about to take place, and David did not. But because he was a trailblazer, because he was a pioneer, while all the sons had this preparation time for this major event that was about to take place, David did not have that. He was still out in the field, not even in line for preparation for what was about to take place. But because he is a trailblazer, he was able to step up to the plate and do what it is that he was anointed and called to do. So the first thing we want to recognize is trailblazers do not always have the time to prepare. So your assignment is going to be to look at 1 Samuel 16, and you're going to point out in Scripture where you can see that statement at. All right. The next thing that I want you to write down or think about is trailblazers are chosen. Trailblazers are chosen. You also will see that in 1 Samuel 16. So you need to look at the location in which that we can pull from that statement scripturally. So trailblazers won't always have the time to prepare. And then number two, trailblazers are chosen. You are uniquely chosen for such a time as this. And I know we hear that, and sometimes we hear it so much, it almost loses its power because it's a cliche. But I don't want it to lose its power, and nor do I want it to lose what it represents for you all. Someone shared that this was not the first time that they were going through this process, but this was the time that they yielded and is now in it for such a time as this, chosen for this moment. And so when you hear that, I want you to make that prophetically personal, that God chose you. It's in this moment. It's during this kind of pandemic. It's during this kind of crisis. For those of you who live in the city, it's during all of this that's going on that God chose you for such a time as this. And that's a heavy weight, because it then becomes your spiritual responsibility as a trailblazer to define what that looks like. And so I'm going to forward David's life to 1 Samuel 30 when he was in Ziklag and everything was burnt up. And when he got there, because he was a trailblazer, he had to figure out how to innovate and pioneer so that restoration can come. But because he's chosen, because he's used to not having the time to prepare, and then we'll go to the next thing, trailblazers are anointed. So you need to look at 1 Samuel 16 and identify where that happened in David. But because he's anointed, and not just anointed for an occasion, not just anointed for a situation, he is anointed. He was able to move forth in the thing that God has purposed and planned for them. And so I want you to hear that. You've not just been anointed for this occasion. You've not just been anointed. You are anointed for this pandemic. You are anointed for this situation. The anointing is not coming on you. It is in you. It lives within you. And so you are able to move forth and what God has purposed and he has ordained for you. And we've said it. We've said it a few times before, but there's never been a class like this, and then there will never be a class like this. There will be other classes, but not like what you all have gone through. So, number one, we understand that trailblazers do not always have time to prepare. Number two, we understand that they are chosen. Number three, we understand that they are anointed. And then number four, we understand that trailblazers are called into. They're called into. And so we want you to look in the scripture and identify that. What was David called into?
at that moment, because he was not what everybody else, but they're called into. And so you're not just chosen, you're called into it. You're called for such a time as this to move into the thing that God has a purpose and ordained for you. And then number four is trailblazers are sent. They are sent. And so when you look at what God is doing in your life, you understand as a trailblazer, you will always have time to prepare. You are chosen, you are called, and you are sent. And so when you look at 1 Samuel 16, your assignment is to identify those elements within that particular passage scripture. And then next week, the people who volunteered this week will not, and those who didn't get a chance will tell us those next assignments. So the people who did volunteer, you're not exempt from it, but those who did not say anything this week, we look forward for you looking into 1 Samuel 16 and identifying number one, trailblazers are not always have time to prepare. Number two, trailblazers are chosen. Number three, trailblazers are anointed. Number four, trailblazers are called. And then number five, trailblazers are sent. And so, as always, we encourage you to continue to allow what is at work in your life and to really continue to look at the prophetic word that's over you, wage a good warfare for it, and then look for it. Part of your prophetic word is God is restoring some years. And so you should be in full expectation for what is to be restored in this season of your life right now. Amen.
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 Oh, you just give me the second one again.
Amen.
I sure can. I can go through it. I can go through it all again. So you're going to look at 1 Samuel 16, and you're going to identify these five elements. Number one, trailblazers will always have time to prepare. Number two, trailblazers are chosen. Number three, trailblazers are anointed. Number four, trailblazers are called. And then number five, trailblazers are sent. So you're going to look at 1 Samuel 16, and you're going to say verse 1 identifies chosen. Verse 8 identifies the anointing. Verse 6, I'm making that up. I'm not giving you cues to the answers. I'm just giving you instructions and direction. That is how you want to look at that. And then those who didn't have an opportunity to go for it this week, you're going to lead us in that conversation.
Amen. And I have kept
attendance.
So I know who spoke and who did not speak in answering the questions only. In answering the trailblazing questions, I've kept a record so we know who's going to go next week. Praise God. Thank you, Prophet. Apostle KP.
Amen. Thank you, Overseer. I appreciate this time to be able to share. Really been resonating in my spirit for the last couple of weeks. Come from Isaiah, the 41st chapter, verse 10. And verse 10 says, fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of righteousness. And so just meditating on that and even going out on Tuesday with the march and seeing those, you know, who have become overwhelmingly dismayed with what's going on in our society. And even, you know, being an African-American, we understand that prejudice and things of that nature are not anything new to us, amen. But we do thank and praise God for all of the people who we saw. And we're just praying for those on the line who perhaps you too have become overwhelmed in viewing the video and what is going on. And so as I begin to look at that, I begin to look at the name of God, Jehovah Tiskenu, and the Lord God, our righteousness. And when I was looking at it a little closer, it was talking about how when God, we talk about God being our righteousness, we're also talking about the God of justice. We're talking about a God who is just, amen. And so when we look at Isaiah 41 and 10, we need to understand that God says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, that the righteousness is in his hand. And then if we look even further in scripture, we can look at Romans 8 and 34, where Jesus is seated on the right hand of God, pleading for us. And we need to understand that God is seeing, oh, my God, how are we going with that? God is seeing, God is saw, and that he is still seeing. And we don't have to become dismayed. We don't have to feel like our prayers are of none effect. I've even heard people on Facebook talking about when praying ain't enough. What? When praying not enough? Okay. So we have to continue to pray. One of the ministers at the church we go to, he used to say that sometimes we've got to put some doolaloo with our hallelujah. Amen, somebody. We have to put some doolaloo with your hallelujah. And so we put some doolaloo with ours and got out there and marched with those who were marching. It was a very peaceful march. But I have to begin to understand that for us to begin to know that we are saving the God, Yahweh Tiskenu, the God of righteousness, the God of who is just and will give justice to what's going on. As we make a stand, as we're protesting, we will never give up on what God is able to do. And then we also understand that God says that you shall be still and the Lord God will fight your battle. Uh-huh. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. Amen. So we're not wishing any evil upon anybody, but we're standing under the authority of Yahweh Tiskenu, the righteous God, the just God, who is able to do the exceedingly. So I just want to encourage those of you on the line who have become overwhelmed, those of you on the line who don't know what to say to those who are coming to you because they're dismayed, those who are seeming to get waned in their faith and that they're feeling like, you know, is God hearing us? You know, the children of Israel said the same thing before Moses came on the scene. Come on, somebody. But Jesus Christ has come on the scene, and we understand that he is now seated on the right hand of God, making intercession for us. So as we begin to look and as we begin to stand on Isaiah 41 and 10, that we don't have to fear. We don't have to be dismayed. We have to begin to know that God, he said, I will strengthen thee, and I will help, and I will hold you with my righteous right hand. So I just want to say be encouraged on tonight, even as you're walking through this process during these turbulent times. Understand that God has sent you as a trailblazer. He has sent you to be the representation of his righteous right hand in the earth. And so as we walk and hold our head up and not become dismayed, let's just remember the God that we serve. He is well able, amen, to deliver us. Amen. So be encouraged.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. And on that, you should be truly encouraged. You've been informed. You've been equipped. And it is time to just praise him and go forth in belief. So we want to close the floor over to Pastor Bivens to give us our closing prayer and just encourage you.
Oh, dear, can I say one thing?
Absolutely, yes.
I just want to make sure next week is Accountable in Christ, Galatians 6, 1 and 2. And just remember to read and meditate on John 15, 1 through 8. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We're forming, we're building on the foundation that every leader must stand when they go forth. And so that John 15:1-8 is a continuation of your preparation for ordination. And it is your pre-consecration building material, pre-consecration in the month of July. So on that, are there any more insights, comments, questions, concerns? Anyone would like to
overseer,
share? Yes.
Excuse me, overseer, I have a question. We needed to get the start getting the garments before it's too late, right?
Yes.
Do you have that number again? I gotta look in my email. I'll contact Elder Sharita.
The number for the garment? You should have the paperwork for the garment. You will have to find, you know, where you're going to go and how you're going to get it. You can start online. You can pull up your paperwork, your vestment training. We gave you a few suggestions of places that you could go to. But in this season, most of those places aren't open. So you're going to really have to do a lot of your work via the telephone and via the computer.
Okay.
So you may want to check out online.
Okay, because I have the stuff on my on an email, but the actual papers, I don't have them. So I have to try to pull them up.
Okay, all right. Well, that's something you can call me, and we can go on it together and see what we come up
with.
Thank you
very much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. I apologize.
Any more concerns, questions, insights? Any inspiration you would like to give, testimony, anything? This is your forum. This is an open forum for you to express yourself. There's a lot of things going on, and it's always best when you can connect with people in a safe environment so that those things that seem to be confined can be released. And this is a safe place for releasing those things that may be a concern to you. And at any time, we just want you to be able to take your phones off mute and share with the group, okay?
Overseer, this is Burnett. I have a testimony in the fact that it was really nice to make it out there. On one sense, I shouldn't have really went. But I was glad once I got there because being there to get the food, the presence was all outside that building all the way around. The whole time I was there until it started getting too hot, it seemed like, okay, it's time to go. But it was like, I'm serious, meeting different people. I mean, everybody in the line was friendly. It was like unreal. And, I mean, I was just glad to be there and being able to pray with individuals, to be able to pray with young men that really wanted prayer and was willing. And what tripped me out, like, what's your prayer request? And it was just beautiful. Stuff was natural. And it was awesome. And when I came home, it was a different thing. But that was awesome for me, even though my tablet,
Amen.
Y'all, broke.
Uh-oh. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. I believe in times like this, you know, people do have a mind to seek God, and God needs his leaders out among the people so that they can connect in sincerity and in truth with the truth of God. So that is a blessing, and that is what we have made ourselves available to God to do with us. For sharing and for giving your time on your weekly meetings. And Pastor Bivens.
Amen. Kingdom blessings, everyone. God bless you.
Amen.
And we thank God
Amen.
For everything that's been released on this powerful session, words of exhortation, words of teaching. We are just thankful to God who gives us the peace that passes all of our understanding, even in the times that we're in now. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, once again we come together and we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We will continue to bless the Lord at all times because the praises shall continually be in our mouths. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us in this season during a time of pandemic and even a social pandemic. Father, we thank you that as leaders of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will continue to go forward. We will not go backward. We will not be hindered. We will not be stopped. Because as Paul said, we are to forget those things which are behind and reach for those things which are before us. In this season and the seasons to come, we will continue to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you that as we look today at ourselves, Father, we know that you have made us your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works. We take this time to examine ourselves. As the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, Paul said we are to examine ourselves. Lord, let us continue to lift up those and edify those that come across us and even us as believers of Jesus Christ. Let us continue to sharpen iron with iron. Let us continue to lift up the body of Christ, and let us continue to be a light to the world. And, Father, we are just grateful for where you're taking us in this season. We thank you that you've already done it before, as you've done it before and again. We thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we give you glory and we give you honor. So, Father, we seal this prayer. We seal this session. We seal the teachings, the prophetic word. We seal the trailblazers that are on this call. And we know that we're going to do a mighty work for you, O Lord. And we give you glory and we give you honors. We seal this prayer. We rebuke all backlash and retaliation of the enemy. We serve the devil notice that he is defeated. God is still exalted and Jesus Christ will still be Lord. No matter what we face, I declare that we have the victory. Jesus, the word says that victory is ours, and we stand on it, and we grasp it, and we speak it prophetically. In the name of Jesus Christ that we pray, and the church said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise and worship him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Glory, glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to you.
Amen.
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 God bless you, God.
Yes, God bless you all.
God
bless you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.